roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home here in Mountain's Edge, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz. All right, co-host, what's up?
What up, man?
Not much. Ready to talk some UFC 252?
Big weekend for MMA.
It was. Those pay-per-views are massive for the sport, for obviously the UFC, for the fighters that perform on it, for our website. So, yeah, I'm ready to unpack it. We'll talk about the card, top to bottom. Mostly the top, obviously, because I think that's where a lot of the storylines the most interesting ones. Those are the ones that people talk about and want to hear about. So we'll definitely concentrate some of our time there. And then, of course, there's some news nuggets, we like to call them. Little bits of news that break throughout the weekend, or at least since the last time we talked to you, which was technically, I guess, last night. If you joined us for the watch-along, thank you again for hanging out with us. But otherwise, if you're more of just a podcast listener, then last Thursday morning was the last time we caught up. So we'll fill you in on that. For example, there's a new date for Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa and a couple fight bookings. So we'll discuss all of that right now. Buckle up, folks. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Sunday night. We're delivering the Monday show early.
Y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
Goes, I'm going to clean up the prelims, work my way up, and then, of course, I'll check in with you, and you can opine anytime you want. Kai Kamaka III defeated Tony Kelly via decision. It was unanimous. These are featherweights. Chris Daukaus defeated Parker Porter via TKO, punches and knee. First round stoppage there for that heavyweight. Women's strawweights, that's 115 pounds, had Livia Renata Souza defeating Ashley Yoder. Damn it, I needed Yoder too. Would have been a nice start. It was one of the first shots I took on an underdog. She won 29-28, two-time, and then there was a 30-27. So maybe if she had won one of the first two rounds.
I saw a couple people on social media give her the fight.
Yeah.
But I thought she lost. I thought she lost. I thought it was close.
Yeah.
But I did see quite a few people give it to her.
I had surprising. That feeling when Bruce Buffer was getting ready to announce. I was like, yeah, my goose is cooked. I need the miracle. Whereas there's times when you're confident, you're like, yep, uh-huh, all right, cha-ching, and then what? You get shocked. The judges spoil it for you. Rarely does it go the other way. Daniel Chavez fought TJ Brown. Now, these are featherweights, except we had a missed weight incident here. And this was a unanimous decision, 29-28, 29-28 across the board. We work our way towards the top, and we have Verma Jandiroba versus Felice Herrig. Jandiroba submitted her rather early, man. I was kind of disappointed because Felice had been gone for over a year. She came back. She only got the fight for a minute 44, and she got submitted. Usually you don't really see that. I mean, if Felice loses, you don't really see that. You could tell the disappointment in her face. Congrats to Jan DeRoba. And then Vince Pichel defeated Jim Miller, 29-28, two-time. 129-27. He got a 10-8 in the second round from one of the judges. Jim Miller, I did look at the scores goes. He got two 10-9s from two different judges, which is all you really need, right? But that third round, we knew it was close, and if he would have won the third round, he would have won the fight, but it was Vince Pichel's night.
There was a little bit of a theme to this card, and it's kind of that old guard suffered some losses this night.
Yeah. Yeah, if you think about it, Miller, Herrig, those are two right there just on the undercard, and then we'll mention a couple more here on the main card. Any more thoughts on those six fights that I mentioned there with Pichel, Jan DeRoba, Chavez, Souza, Dacus, and Kamaka winning?
Yeah, it kind of started off a little slow for me. You know, a couple of the fights went to decision. Mm-hmm. You didn't really have like that barn burner fight yet. That sets the tone for your day.
Four of them were decisions. So I hear you. But you know what?
But they were good. They were good fights.
And TJ Brown, where it was pretty fun. You know, they threw down. I didn't mind Pichel and Miller.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Herrig was so quick. You know, it was just, oh, okay, you're disappointed. And then Yoder was, I mean, I had a bet on it. And I thought she might squeak it out. So I was a little on the edge of my seat. But yeah, you're right. The action was a little slow moving. Neither lady really grabbing the decision by the throat. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like cruising to the finish line, crossing the finish line, and then just crossing your toes and your fingers and hoping you get your name called.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then the main card started. That's when Goz and I went live on Sportscaster for our watch along. Hey, look, if you even just are curious about it, if you've never seen it, you can always go to sportscaster.com/MMA junkie. All of our Wednesday shows that we talk about are there. And then the watch along, you'll see that there as well.
A lot of people can tune in
for 5-10 minutes and go, oh, yeah, man, I need to do this more often. Go ahead.
The watch along, a lot of people watch it the next day. And I didn't realize how many people actually later that night or they just go back and watch that.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I should retweet it then just in case. You never know when you're going to make a new listener, a new fan, a new viewer. So, and a quick reminder, you know, we do this show on Wednesdays on Sportscaster. SportsCaster, no E in caster, sportscaster.com/MMA junkie. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Now, that one's live, folks. That one's live. The other two, like this one and the Thursday, you'll see them on the site at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. By the way, what do I mean when I say early edition? It means basically we're recording Sunday night and it'll drop on the website at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, but it's already uploaded onto our podcast platform, Omni, and then it starts to run out to the different, you know, places where you may want to subscribe, like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. And so hopefully those of you in Oceania, meaning like Australia, New Zealand, the UK, where it's already Monday, some of you are grabbing the download a little early. Anyway, Merab Dvalishvili defeated John Dodson. There's one of those veterans goes you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Took a loss there. 30-27 across the board. I thought one of the rounds was a little bit more competitive. But basically, Dvalishvili just... Dodson wasn't as active as he needed to be, and Dvalishvili implemented his game.
There were a couple of those types of fights, like with Felice Herrig. I wouldn't say it was so much that Felice was having a bad night. Her opponent was just... I think she's going to be a great fighter. I think she's a wrecking ball. You know, it's kind of one of those where they just meet like that. And I feel like this Dvalishvili fight, I thought John Dodson fought a decent fight. I just think Dvalishvili is just tough. He's tough to handle.
Yeah, he sure is. He's got a motor, man. He never gets tired. And then Dodson kept waiting to counter strike and use some of that power. And that's fine. But listen, when you're down one round, and you got the next 5 minutes, you know, and you haven't had much luck in touching somebody's chin, I don't think you can just think, oh, I'm going to catch him. Oh, I'm going to catch him. Oh, I'm going to catch him. You know, you better start thinking about how you're going to win that round. And hopefully if you hurt them, you can put them away. But Dodson, that's where I would have wanted him to turn it up a little bit and become more of an initiator versus just a counter striker. Take for example, Jorge Masvidal. He'll be the first to tell you, man, my style just cost me early in my career. I mean, he must literally have like 5 to 7, maybe even 10 split decision losses, or at least close decision losses, where he knows because he was looking for you to make a mistake. Next thing you know, the clock was winding down and it's over and he didn't get those shots. And what did he do since then? He's starting to become more of a faster starter. And hell, he's got the record for the fastest finish in the UFC. And that definitely turned things around. So Daniel Pineda defeated Herbert Burns on the ground too. He really took it to Herbert Burns. The fight ended in the second round, but even in the first, he got a 10-8 goes from one of the judges.
When you're breaking down this type of fight, you have to go with one guy's strengths versus the other guy's strengths. And boy, I think a lot of us had it wrong. I mean, Daniel Pineda just didn't really care. And you've seen this before in fights with guys like Damian Maia, right? There's a lot of guys that say, ah, I don't want to go. Or Husamar Paulhares back in the day, I don't want to mess with leg locks with that guy. We all sit around and say, well, if they can stay away from him, they'll be just fine. But there's certain guys in history that have just taken that particular strength to that guy and tested them. And this is one of those. I mean, he had no problem taking the fight to the ground, being on the ground with Herbert Burns, and he was throwing some massive elbows, ground and pound. He was active. It's not like he was just there trying to play it safe. Like, he was opening himself up with a lot of attacks. So I think that's a great win for Pineda.
Yeah, I agree. In that fight, it was a featherweight fight, but Burns missed weight. And so he wasn't, you know, right away, anybody that misses weight isn't eligible for a bonus. So if you're wondering why the Chavez and Brown fight wasn't even up for, I guess, fight of the night, well, one of the two parties, I'm not sure who missed weight, honestly, missed. So not by much, not by as much as Burns. Burns missed by 3.5 pounds in the Chavez-Brown fight. Somebody was over by 1.5 pounds. Pineda is proud of his black belt, but I think everybody has basically said the Burns brothers are just a little higher level, I guess. And so with Pineda having a distinct advantage, at least in my eyes, you know, he can crack on the feet. I thought he was going to maybe be more interested in engaging on the feet, where he was clearly winning early on.
I thought so too.
In second round, Burns came out with, like, I think it was a stiff kick, and then boom, followed up with a takedown. But both times, Pineda was able to work his way out of that and get on top and just destroy on top, finishing the fight in the second round. Huge win for this guy. This is a guy who won twice at PFL last year and then had two no contests because he won twice in one night. And so think about how disappointing that was for that dude. Well, I mean, he did get caught cheating, so there's no way to paint it. But he served a suspension, comes to the UFC, gets a win, comes back to the UFC, I should say, wins, and gets a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how quickly your career can turn around, even in the worst situations.
For sure. Jairzinho Rozenstruik and Junior Dos Santos were in the third fight of the main card. This is the featured bout. Two heavyweights who really wanted a crack at that title. Junior Dos Santos, a former champion. You know, he hasn't stopped winning. Junior Dos Santos had basically, I think, hit the apex of his career. You know, he beat Cain Velasquez, then he lost that trilogy. But everybody kind of wrote him off after he lost to Stipe Miocic for the UFC Heavyweight Championship. But then he wins 3 in a row. Ivanov, Tuivasa, Derek Lewis. Not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he loses 2 in a row. And Ngannou and Blades. He wanted to get back on track against Jairzinho Rozenstruik, who also had just taken his first loss to Francis Ngannou. So it was a big fight for both guys because Junior's already got stock. You know, he wanted to just basically shake off the two-fight losing streak, get back to his winning ways, and hopefully he can find himself in a position. Look, if he got some sort of a streak going and Stipe were to kind of go through a lot of people, Junior could play the old, you know, we're 1-1, that type of thing. But he'd have to be devastating. He came in great shape. But Jairzinho Rozenstruik, you know, he was kind of that counter guy. He was looking for his shot, and then he exploded and caught Junior Dos Santos and finished him in round two.
I thought Junior fought a pretty decent fight, to be honest. I thought he did a lot of good things. I thought he looked great.
You won round one too?
Won round one. It just, you know, these heavyweights that have been through these battles for so long, it's not even the most devastating punch that sometimes puts these guys down. And it was kind of a hook that he ran into as he was circling out that put him down and started everything. But it just, you know, it sucks because this is a guy, like, I have to imagine on one of the biggest cards of all time with heavyweights involved. It wasn't that long ago that he was that guy, you know, in that same position, getting that same treatment that these heavyweights get on fight week, all that stuff. And now he's just battling to kind of stick around.
I'm glad you brought that up, the kind of running away, because I noticed it with DC a couple times as well. And that's actually where they were getting clipped. A lot of people would tell you stand in the pocket and maybe throw back and use your feet to kind of pivot and get back to the middle of the cage versus kind of running and possibly taking a leg kick or just getting clipped from the side. You know, you don't really have much way to go if somebody kind of, especially, you know, winds up kicking you in the head. But I noticed a lot of fighters are getting in trouble that way, and you're basically not moving your head. Think about, like, when you even Alistair Overeem, actually, he's got a defense where he kind of covers up, he'll rope a dope a little bit, but I feel like that's a little bit more intelligent than kind of running away. Now, that said, he could easily go, you try fighting Biggie Boy and you try fighting Stipe Miocic and see if they hurt you, see if you're not running away. Yeah, maybe, but hey, it's my job to tell you how I see it.
Another thing, too, you got to remember is smaller cage, right? Smaller cage, sometimes you just have more real estate that you're used to dealing with and you forget. You take that step back and next thing you know, you realize the cage is right there. Who knows?
Yeah, huge win for Rozenstruik. He's back on the win column. He did already say, I know, Ngannou's next. He had said pre-fight that he was looking to maybe use this to catapult him, but I think reality set in a little bit. It's no disrespect to him, but look, he just got polished off by Francis Ngannou, and Ngannou's won four in a row. So, in fact, Dana White's already said next for Stipe is Francis Ngannou. I also want to note something. I've already mentioned two fight cards where there was a finish, and I mentioned how the judges had scored it. So if anybody thinks, well, wait a minute, the judges didn't deliver a scorecard because the fight finished. Actually, there's an interesting article. Well, it's like it's a piece that we put up on the website, and you'll see the scorecards. And it'll say like 11 images, 12 images, however many fights are there. You can see how the judges scored it, at least as the fight was going. So even the ones that didn't go to the decision, if you're just curious if somebody won round one or round two before there was a finish in round two or three or whatever, they're there, and it'll tell you the judges' names. And you kind of start to develop a little bit of a pattern. You say, man, Chris Lee or Derek Cleary, you know, those guys tend to reward blah, blah, blah. Or those guys tend to...
There's definitely patterns.
Those guys tend to go against the other two. Or Sal D'Amato, you know, he's more consistent. Or Junichiro Ichimo, that guy. A lot of people like the way he turns in scores. You'll see it'll kind of give you a fresh reminder of the refs. Like, I made note, we had five quality refs there. And I thought, that's kind of a lot, like, for the commission. I mean, it's great that five refs got a night's work of pay, but Herb Dean ref three of them goes, and then all the other guys ref two. There was Mergliotta, Goddard, Dean, who were the others? Oh, Mark Smith and Chris Tione.
I feel like normally...
So they used the two Nevadas and then brought in three others.
Probably because of COVID, I think, if something were to happen.
Oh, you know, nice, like, backup.
I think that's maybe why.
Yeah.
But I think normally there's three and sometimes four, right?
Yeah, I would say four tops is what's necessary. But I guess with COVID, yeah, you want to play it safe. And look, once they come in and they get paid, they get paid. The guy that works the championship fight, the main event or the co-main event, they usually get bumped up just a little bit.
Chris and Mark, I believe, are local guys,
Chris,
right?
Yeah, Chris and Mark are local guys, and they need the reps, so that's good. The Nevada Commission, I mean, the state commissions will always try and plug their guys in for sure, and then, you know, the more experienced ones will come in. But I don't know. Those are little interesting things that you can see when you kind of click on a lot of the stories. Like, you know which one I didn't click for a long time was Fighter Tracks, the music, you know, because I knew I would recognize a couple. But then I'd go, oh, man, they sing that? Like, I didn't even know that a certain artist may have sang that song that I kind of got a kick out of. All right, continuing. Co-main event time. Marlon Vera upset Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley was as high as 250, 280. Marlon Vera coming back anywhere from plus 200 all the way up to like plus 230, 240. Yep, he beat him in the first round with 20 seconds left. Sean O'Malley, let me phrase this right. He did hurt himself in his attempt to continue fighting, but that came because Marlon Vera shut off his leg. He kicked him in the peroneal nerve just outside of the tibia, right above the knee. And after that, Sean O'Malley kind of had what they call like a drop foot. He just couldn't plant because his brain was telling his foot, step here so you can throw this punch. And the lower leg wasn't responding. So that's why you'll see something similar, but not as bad as what you saw when Demetrius did to Henry Cejudo in part two of their rivalry. And then Brett Primus did to Michael Chandler in part one of their rivalry. That one was really, really obvious.
The best way I can describe it is like if your leg fell asleep.
Yeah.
You know, and you try and take that step, and even when you do accomplish it, like you're like a baby. You're like, am I doing this right? Like,
so look,
it just goes to sleep.
The ankle kind of bent back, the knee. Mm-hmm. Early on, we all thought the knee gave out or something. But then looking back, it happened at 2 minutes and 53 seconds. If you look, that's when Marlon Vera kicks him. And then watch Sean O'Malley's right foot. And you can tell already it's kind of flopping. He kind of sees that there's something wrong. So you kind of see him kind of jumping on his left leg a little bit, still moving. A couple times he gets away with a strike. Because it didn't require much of the movement on the other leg, but then every once in a while it wasn't there, and he eventually hurt himself. Now, that said, when he fell to the ground, Marlon Vera delivered some vicious elbows. He more than deserved his win. You know what I mean?
It's a technique.
Those guys aim for the calf so that they can stop you. Not like that necessarily. I mean, they know that it's there, but... to stop you, you know, basically to get you to change your stance, not put pressure on your lead leg, just to basically throw you off and cause you to just basically the leg gives out and falls down. But Vera actually hit him in the perfect sweet spot.
It's a strategy. Mm-hmm. It is. And really, like anybody who's breaking down that fight, at least I picked Marlon Vera, but the reason I did was I thought he would put too much pressure on Sean. And he actually didn't do that. He kind of took his time and picked his shots, and so really it's a strategy. It's what the guy did. He maybe assumed that Sean O'Malley thought he was going to do that. Instead, he threw him off a little bit. But mm-hmm. You got to give him all the credit in the world in that fight.
Yeah, Sean O'Malley takes his first loss. He's already tweeted or posted on Instagram. He basically just said humbled, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Humbled. I've been humbled because I think when you lose your first fight or a big fight, part of the process of picking up the pieces is just coming to grips, you know? Man, maybe he spent all night in his hotel room crying. There's others that make excuses. There's others that'll say this and say that. But I think once you come to grips, you turn the page. For some, they say the pressure's off. Now, he'll obviously have to... I think they said he was getting some examinations to see if there's any damage because of the leg kind of giving out and twisting his knee in different positions. We're hoping, obviously, he doesn't have anything serious. He's had a serious injury before. And if it's just a loss, it's just a loss. And then, obviously, he'll have to make note of that strike because it cost him dearly here.
You can't even hate on Welcome to the Cheeto Show. Because Sean did the thing with the hair. Yeah, I mean,
you got
to
take your lumps.
He tried to get under his skin, so you got to take your lumps.
Yeah. Stipe Miocic defeated Daniel Cormier to retain his UFC heavyweight championship. He's now 2-1 versus DC. This fight went to a decision with scores of 49-46 twice and 48-47. My scorecard, I had it 48-47 for Stipe. I thought it was 2-2 going to the fifth, but I left an opening for the fact that it seemed like Miocic won his rounds a little more clearly, and it seemed like DC was, like the rounds I was giving him, I was barely giving him. Like that first mm-hmm. one, that his wrestling actually solidified it.
That was the closest round, I thought.
Yeah, and guess what, Goose? One judge didn't even give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, but then one judge gave him round four, which I thought he also won, but two of them didn't. So basically going into round five, he was drawing dead. And his coach, Crazy Bob Cook actually told him, "Hey, look, I want you to finish him. Or I think you may need to finish him.
Yeah, look for a finish or something like that."
So it was kind of like,
Don't just win
the round, like literally. Yeah, and that was good advice. Maybe a little bit more assertive, but hey, DC was dealing with being partially blind, and I'm sure he was frustrated at the eye pokes. He had already spent 20 minutes in there with Miocic. Miocic came in lighter, fresher. He had an interesting tactic to slow DC down with the underhooks. They did unfortunately poke each other in the eye, a couple shots in the nuts. But in the end, I don't think anyone's going to say, hey, look, because of this, this was the result. I think we can just say it was just a fight and one guy won.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a crazy result because on one side, you want to say, maybe we didn't feel like we got a true representation of that fight because of the eye poke, right? It happened pretty early. He said all he saw was black. I mean, it's very difficult to fight with one eye. But when you look at it from another perspective, that's just something that happens in our sport. It's going to happen from time to time. Mm-hmm. He's not the first guy that's had to deal with something like that. And Goddard apologized. He just missed it, you know? And I can see that happening because it happens just like that.
And if he didn't miss it, what he could have maybe done was, how do we know that he doesn't give him the stern warning, you know? Or let's just say he does take away a point. I suppose that could change the fight because maybe it makes Stipe panic a little bit. I guess if we just simply apply it here, then Stipe still wins the 49-46 card. He still wins it 48-46 two times. But if he gets it and then, you know, maybe he goes into some sort of another mode thinking, oh, wow, I may need to finish this guy, then maybe that leaves openings. I don't know. But then that's the whole what if game. So I don't know. I like that Goddard came clean and said, I missed it, because he told DC, no, you got punched. DC was very livid. And from that point, he was very flustered, even all the way to the end, his post-fight interview. He never took off gloves or anything. But still, it's something that happened. I think we should all talk about it, but not to the point where we think that anything needs to happen here. I mean, I think DC won his fight, and I think Daniel Cormier is ready to retire.
I feel bad for Goddard because there are times where when you get punched, the thumb will go into your eye, and it'll feel like an eye poke. But in this case, it wasn't anywhere near a punch. I mean, it was almost like Roddy Piper.
It was in and then swipe.
And yeah,
it was two motions, yeah. Whereas when the one DC got him was a little bit more swipe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Stipe's was a little, I don't want to call it dirtier, because I don't feel like he's a dirty fighter. He just got him. He just got him. Yeah, it was just the nastier of the two.
I will say DC, this.
Go ahead.
I'll say this. This is, for as big as this fight was and everything, the fact that there was no crowd, this is one of the first fights that I really felt that there not being a crowd in this fight. Like it I don't want to say it made it feel smaller, but it almost made it feel like it wasn't that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
It was strange.
And look, I'm not all into I'm not going to say I've never been starstruck, because I obviously have. But now that we've been in the sport for a long time, we see it a lot. But it is pretty cool to see a lot of the celebs and pro athletes chiming in via those texts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit of the crowd for me. You know, like, I just know there's a shitload of eyeballs watching, and it's kind of cool. And then you and I, we have sportscaster, we have people in the chat room, Twitter's blowing up. But you're right, it's nothing like when there is a crowd. But it didn't take away from it being entertaining. And even from the time where Stipe kind of locked them up with the underhooks, yeah, time went off the clock, but when they were in the middle, they were throwing down.
Oh, yeah.
I loved the fight. I really did. Just the guy that I wanted to win. I had parlays that were tied to DC. I wanted DC to win. It didn't work out. But, hey, he had a great career. He did say one thing, though. When Joe Rogan said, you know, is that it or something, he said, well, I would only want to fight for titles, and I don't think the UFC is going to give me a shot at a title. So, yeah, this is probably it. But, you know, when someone goes, oh, no, it's it. I said it was it. Stop asking me. I'm coming home, baby, to my wife and my kids. He said he gave that little out. So what does that tell you? It tells you down the road, if something happened with like a month out, could DC or 3 weeks out, could DC maybe step in? Maybe. I don't know if it would be for like a Miocic situation, but it'd have to happen probably in the next year, and it'll have to, you know. So you know what'll be the clear indication? Is if he withdraws himself from USADA. Because if he withdraws to get back in, he's got to have 6 months, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Uriah Faber's not out. That's why he weighed in Jacksonville. I think it was Jacksonville or Yaz Island. I think it was when he was with Song Yadong for the Vera fight, if I'm not mistaken. Or am I? No, one of those fights. He was with somebody, and then he actually weighed in because somebody was going to possibly not fight, and he was going to be able to step in. And he can do that because he's never stopped testing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that is be a good indicator.
Yeah. Now, when you're first come to the organization, you get a 30-day kind of like exemption where you can fight and not have to have been part of it for 6 months. They were looking to maybe close that or
that was like three or months or something like that.
Yeah. But regardless, I think DC's done. He's had a great career. He had some quotes that I thought were very, very, like, not humbling, but he kept it real by saying, you know, I had a great career, but I am disappointed that in my two trilogy bouts, I lost them. My rivalry bouts. That one stings. Jones is one of them, and Stipe is the other one. I think he would have liked to have gone 1-1 at least in those two, because he exits as champ and also wins the
Miocic matchup. Because I think what happens is you get stuck because they're in two different divisions. So you get stuck saying, I was one of the greatest light heavyweights of all time or heavyweights of all time. But you never really get that opportunity to say, I was the greatest, you know, like the GOAT. And it's because two monsters, right? John Jones, how he's unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And Stipe Miocic, he's the GOAT now. And he's only gonna pad that even more with some of the guys coming up, you think.
However goes, you know Ngannou's the favorite going into that matchup. He's -200 to Stipe Miocic +170. So even though he's lost to him, I think the odds makers are saying, oh, we've seen a lot since then.
But he'd still only be 1-1. He'd have a third chance at the guy, right?
True, so like
there's a chance that he can get.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's gonna lose. I'm just saying I couldn't believe how and Jones is a slight favorite. I think he's -150 to Stipe's +130.
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. I did want to say this, though, and I know I'm going to get shit. You're a homer. As impressive it is for Stipe to go, I'm the greatest heavyweight ever, and Jones to say, I'm the greatest light heavyweight ever, is it pretty cool for DC to still go, yeah, but I still won two titles in two weight classes, and neither one of you guys did?
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a little saving grace, right?
It is.
It's something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those two can easily go, out of my way. I got something to say. Drop the mic. And even though they did beat DC, and he's got to swallow that and take that, he can say, hey, look, but I did win two titles in two different weight classes, something you guys never did. And the simultaneous guys, like him, Connor, Henry, I should have said guys and gal, Amanda, is he the greatest of those four? Possibly. I'll tell you why. He's got not the best record because Henry's only got two losses. DC now has three. But Henry only defended each one time, whereas DC defended light heavyweight three times and heavyweight once. DC also took home a Grand Prix. Cejudo didn't. Cejudo can say, I'm even in my rivalries, which is basically just Demetrius. DC lost in his rivalry. So you see what I'm saying? I'm splitting the atom here with arguments. Amanda can say, I've defended both. She's defended one of them five times, I believe, the bantamweight, and featherweight once. But that featherweight division, come on, that's a joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, although she did beat Cyborg, you got to give her that one.
She's obliterating
that's people. Solid. That's solid. But she's also lost four times. So I think she might have just as good of an argument as Henry. Connor, unfortunately, just didn't defend either belt. He can always say, I'm the richest fighter ever. Okay, we'll give you that one. There's three other champs, and that's GSP, Randy, and BJ, except they never held it at the same time. That's why I said simultaneous champs. So
I'm kind of smiling over here, giggling, because when you said you're being Homer Simpson, it reminded me of your parlay. You did a Sammy the Squid, right? You went 0 for 3 on the Fights Camera Action? Because wasn't I calling you Homer Simpson?
I had Vera.
Not on Fights Camera Action.
I had Yoder.
You had Yoder, Cormier, and I thought JDS.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a rough night for...
But I had another... Oh, yeah. No matter what, it was a rough night. But I think I did okay on staff picks.
Well, no, I don't mean for you. I just mean for, like, Junkie Nation. Uh-huh. The people that they fall in love with. I had Vera, so that one won.
Somebody had Herrig.
But I had Cormier. Yeah.
Mike?
Mike had Herrig.
Okay.
And then, who's my last one? I had Dotson. So I went 1-2.
I think I'm just going to stick to one. I mean, look, the big payday is obviously 3 underdogs, but you need to have at least the 1 underdog. Otherwise, 3 favorites? Fuck, anyone can pick that one. Someone's little kid can pick that one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The bonuses went to Daniel Pineda and Verna Janderoba for performances of the night. The fight of the night went to Kai Kamaka versus Tony Kelly. And then you obviously know there's no gate and no attendance figures. Nevada doesn't even release salaries anymore. So we're not going to be able to get that to you. That's something that came down about a month ago, if I'm not mistaken. Salaries won't be released. I don't know why. I guess I'm going to go back and read the article to see why they came up with that. If I was the leader of the Players Association, or the Fighters Association in this case, I would tell them, I think that's something you guys should do. Just look at the NFL draft.
They should make it public.
Yes.
Yeah, it benefits
you guys them. Should want that, yes.
Uh-huh.
You guys should want that. Because there's your agents, or yourself, if you represent yourself, you could use that to... help you in your negotiations. Just the NFL draft alone, usually when a quarterback goes, especially if they go in successive years, the first thing someone's going to tell you is, I got a top last year's guy, just for starters.
Right.
And it's almost accepted, because every year the salaries go up. The NFL's, what do they call it? Salary cap goes up. So the money's there. So, you know, did you see what those tight ends got paid?
Kittles and...
5 years, $75 million. So he gets $15 million a year. And then Kelsey got 4 years, except I don't know how much. But that's incredible, man.
I think it's a little bit too much for Kelsey. Kittles, I get.
Kelsey's a beast, but those tight ends are something else now. I mean, they're just so difficult to cover, you know? And they can be really, really key components. I'm not hating on either one, that's for sure. Anyway, folks, that's UFC 252 there. And what's going to happen next, from what we know, Miocic versus Ngannou. First, he's going to go home and be with his daughter, which is the only thing he could think of yesterday. Vera says, I want a killer. Put me in there against the top guys. I've already proved it, and I think the UFC should come through.
He deserves it.
Rozenstruik, what's next for him? I don't know. All I know is Ngannou's facing Miocic. But Rozenstruik, Lewis, Blades, between those three, two of them need to face each other. And then the other guy can face somebody else that's, you know, possibly coming off a win. Maybe you're like a Volkov, Alistair, you know, somebody who maybe times it right if they don't already have some sort of a fight booking. Somebody in the top 10, he'll have to take that fight. But I would say that now Ngannou versus Miocic, since that seems to be kind of official a little bit, Blades is now in the pole position. And it's up to whoever beats him to take him out. But if Blades wins, I don't see anyone leapfrogging over him.
Yeah, I agree.
Pineda, Davishvili. Davishvili, you know, give him a tough top 10 guy. Pineda, hey, look, welcome back. Take it easy. We'll give you someone tough. And obviously you came through. Hats off. Vince Pichel. He's 37. He beat Jim Miller. Hopefully he's healthy and he's ready to go again. Huge, huge win for him. and Verma Jandrova. You got to get excited, you know, a little bit about her. As far as UFC 252, I believe kind of that's it. Let's tackle some of these news nuggets. All right, so I think the most important thing that came out of the announcements made over the weekend was Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa now kind of has a change date, but an official date. It's UFC 253 now, what appears to be September 26th, not on September 19th, which is what we were reporting, or everybody was reporting, you know, as recently as last week. When I heard that fight wasn't happening on the 19th, I went, oh no, because I thought somebody got hurt. Mm-hmm. But basically, they just moved the date. John Morgan did ask Dana, is it in Abu Dhabi, is it in Vegas? Dana wouldn't commit to either one. So, who else is on the card? Marion Renault against Ketlin Vera. Kai Kara France versus Brandon Royval. Remember, this is a pay-per-view. Claudia Gadelha versus Jan Janan. Hakeem Duwadu versus Zabara Tukagov. Sarah Alpar versus Jessica Rose Clark. Randy Costa versus Journey Newsom. Mersad Bektik versus Eduardo Garagori. Now, look. Not after Adesanya and Costa, we need something. I can stomach Kai Kara France versus Brandon Royval. Those guys, okay. I'll take it. Or give me Renault versus Vera. But don't give me those two and Costa and Adesanya. Like, I need to see some heavy artillery. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got yourself as great of a main event as you're going to deliver to anybody. Two guys that are undefeated who've been talking shit to each other, who are just, they've earned their spot. Hell yeah, all day. But come on, let's dress it up a little bit. Let's start off with a solid co-main. And I need three more matchups.
Whoa, big ones?
I like it. I mean, they don't have to be titles.
What if they just pair it up with another good co-main
Covington event? And Woodley, they're actually going to headline the 19th event. But I would love for them to be here.
But just them and you're happy? Or
no, I need one more.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. It's a pay-per-view.
I know, it's a great fight.
$69 and they want you to become part of ESPN2. You know, you have to do that monthly, so you commit to that. Then, only then, you can order the pay-per-view. You don't get a satellite transmission. You get, you know, internet.
I just need one more.
Sometimes buffers or whatever. And so, yeah, they ask a lot. Fuck yeah, I'm going to ask a lot, too, as a fan.
I ain't hating, but guess what? I would just think one more is good.
What if it's fight week, right? And let's say there's no pandemic, or let's just say you're part of a group that's gotten together and you're in a bubble and you're safe. You got the steaks grilling, the cooler full of beers and everything, and then Thursday night, Costa falls off. That thing takes a hit, right? Party just took a hit. That's what I'm saying. I like it. Like, when Masvidal didn't sign up to fight, I was still okay with that pay-per-view in Yas Island. It was pretty solid. They had the two title fights. They had a vacant, and then they had the other one. Mm-hmm. But then when they put it in, it was like fucking Christmas. I loved it. But the one before that with Felicia Spencer and Amanda was like, yeah. I don't know. I mean,
I hear you. I would probably be okay with just one more power fight on there. Or give me 2 to 3 more solid matchups.
Yeah.
You know, like your JDS, Rosenstruck, that type of
Barbosa
fight.
Barbosa versus Sodiq Youssef. I'll take that.
Okay.
You know, I'll take that. Barbosa's built his name. He's already sold me years ago. I'm an exciting fighter. And so is Sodiq Youssef. So I would take something like that. I would take something like O'Malley versus Vera, you know, whatever, and Covington versus Woodley. But I can't have what we see right now. So, yeah, that's a matchup that's been made. It's on October 10th, though, Barbosa versus Youssef. It's not the card with Gaethje versus Khabib, by the way, if you're wondering. These are all fight nights. These are all just filling in on different nights. Aldana and Holm, they're fighting one week before Sodiq Youssef versus Edson Barbosa. And I don't even know if these are main. No, this is a main event, I should say. It clarifies that. Holm versus Aldana. I would take Holm versus Aldana on the Costa.
That wouldn't make you that much happier.
Well, no, but it's star power a little bit, and the winner, especially if it's Aldana, could be looking at a title shot. So, you know, the stakes are high. Those are two of the matchups that I saw. I mentioned, actually, I guess they haven't really reported Covington and Woodley, but what Dana White said was that they both have agreed, and it's looking very likely. Like, that's the that matchup's, you know, done, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the UFC's going back to Fight Island. We just don't know when. So we don't know where these events are going to take place. I imagine the Costa Adesanya is a Fight Island. Don't you?
If you look at the card and who's on it, it makes the most sense. But why not say it, right?
Because one guy's from, lives in New Zealand. The other guy lives in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. And then go through the card.
I mean, I suppose maybe now things are, I wouldn't say loosening up, but it's not like there's not Brazilians, you know, in the United States. And New Zealand's a country that's been pretty safe. So it might be, I mean, Hooker fought over here against mm-hmm. Poirier. So maybe Israel could fight down here. But I could see them wanting to maybe do that one in Yas Island. Vettori says he thinks he's going to get Chris Weidman.
I think he deserves it. I think I like that fight better than seeing Rockhold and Weidman.
Benil Dariush gets Charles Oliveira goes.
Yeah,
that's on October 3rd. That's with Holm and Aldana.
I mean, oh, that's a good fight.
It's a really, really good fight. So, yeah, those are some of the ones that kind of came through, I guess, in the last 4 or 5 days. Ray Borg says, I'll be back. He was very thankful to the UFC, the two matchmakers, and Dana White, saying, look, they went above and beyond, but I will make my way back. He got cut about 2-3 weeks ago. We still don't know why he didn't fight this last time. So there's nothing confirming COVID. How about Khabib? He keeps mentioning George St. Pierre. And St. Pierre, I think, is almost 40, and he's going, I'm done. But we always say money brings anybody back.
See, up until about, what, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, he couldn't have been more clear about just, I'm done. And I can't remember what he said, but he kind of threw a little bit of a lifeline out there. I can't remember what it was, but sometimes you just, I think Daniel Cormier right now is walking away at a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And GSP probably did that the best out of anyone.
Yeah. Donald Cerrone, he gets Nico Price on the 19th, same night as Colby and Tyron. Mm-hmm. Angela Hill versus Michelle Waterson, that's been rescheduled for September 12th. If you'll notice, September 12th, 19th, 26th, October 3rd, October 10th. The UFC's not stopping, man. It seems like there's no weeks off. Hardy versus Maurice Greene, October 31st. Why didn't they make Tanner Boser versus Maurice Greene?
I don't know. They keep teasing that.
Yeah. So I think I kind of caught you all up. Jimmy Crute versus Modestus Bukauskas. That's October 17th. Ian Heinsch versus Brendan Allen. That's November 7th. So, yeah, a lot of these came through. Dustin Jacoby's already got another fight. He fights Justin Ledet on October 31st.
Be a good scrap.
Cynthia Calvillo. She fights Lauren Murphy at UFC 254. That's on October 24th with Khabib. Nurmagomedov versus Justin Gaethje. Alonzo Menifield versus Ovince St. Preux. So the matchmakers have been busy. These are solid. I don't know if we mentioned this, by the way, last week, but Corey Anderson is going to Bellator. He negotiated his release. He's there already, and I got to imagine that if Bader can get past, I think it's Nemkov that he's fighting for the light heavyweight title. I don't know if Corey Anderson walks into a title shot because he is coming off a loss. If you'll recall, he lost to
KO'd.
Jan Blachowicz.
Yeah.
I almost said Jiří Procházka, but it's Jan Blachowicz. So I would imagine Bellator would go, hey, look, beat this guy, and then it's you versus Bader. Anyway, I went back, and I think we're all caught up there, at least on these fight bookings. So we went through a lot of them there. Folks, that's our show for today. Thank you so much again for your support through all of these years. I think we're closing in on 3,100 shows. I think if we throw in those Wednesday shows, we're really, really close. We're at a slower pace than before because we don't go five times a week. We only go three times a week. And we're not even counting the Wednesdays. We got to talk to Simon to see if he'll do it. Those are quality shows.
Yeah.
Just grab the audio and throw it up. We'll see you all. Let's see here. Wednesday. Well, check out Spinning Backlick. You'll see that on Tuesdays on the website. I don't think there'll be a rankings report, but if there is, it'll show up on Wednesday. And then Wednesday, live on Sportscaster, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, we'll have MMA Junkie Radio. Goz is already working on a guest. And, of course, keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week. Like I said, it's not stopping. There's lots of fight cards. All of the promotions seem to be clicking. Follow Goz on Twitter and Instagram at The Goz, and I'm at MMA Junkie George. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And we are out of here, folks. Go out there and be a champion.